afternoon. My name is Jason DeCoff. I'm with Tennessee State University, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the winter canola work we've been doing related to identifying certain cultivars that are going to work best for the farmers in our area. One of the reasons why I got involved in this project was because we got a grant from the USDA to develop some extension programming related to biodiesel production. And so we were able to take the funding and develop a mobile demonstration that contains the equipment that can be used to take any sort of an oil seed, press the seed to get the oil, and then convert that oil into biodiesel. And so through that project, we did some economic analyses, and we looked, and we were using winter canola, and so that was something that was economically viable as a use for farmers. They could use it, not only grow it through contracts for the cooking oil industry, but then they could also grow some to produce biodiesel on their own farms. And so one of the questions that we had was what varieties are going to be best for our farmers to grow based on yields and things like that. So for the past couple of years, we have been part of the National Winter Canola Variety Trial led by Kansas State University. And it's a number of universities that are looking at a number of varieties. We looked at about around 40 varieties in both years, basically to see how they do in each of our different areas of the country. And so, like I said, we've been involved in this for a couple years, so we've been able to identify what kind of varieties are going to be most useful. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the specific things that we're looking for related to biodiesel as well. So one of the things that we found when we did some economic analyses, we looked at the total cost of producing biodiesel from an oil seed. In this case, specifically from canola, since canola has one of the largest oil-containing seeds. It has about 40% oil in it, as opposed to something like soybean that has 20%. And so looking at the cost of producing the oil seed and then converting the oil seed into biodiesel, we end up with a cost of about $6 per gallon for biodiesel. So, that's not something that's really economically feasible. But the product that's produced, in addition to the oil, when we press the seed, it's a meal product. So it's a high protein product like a soy meal, and it can be a revenue for the farmer. They can sell it to another farmer, or they can use it on their own farm for their animals. So that brings the cost down to $2.89 a gallon. Now, a couple years ago, this was a good deal, and of course today the oil prices are lower. But what we found in some of our economic analyses are that if farmers share this equipment, they can still do the biodiesel production on their farm for a lot lower than what they can purchase it for at the commercial pump. So something like $1.50 a gallon if you've got five farmers that are sharing the equipment. They can produce it for about $1.50 a gallon. So there is still some opportunity for using the biodiesel for farmers to produce it even at these low gas prices. So what we did, so I'm going to show some information from last year. Our last year of the trial, we planted at two different dates in a randomized complete block design where we had four different replications. We planted it by hand using a push planter, and then we harvested it in June using a plot combine. And so we took, so obviously we did a soil test, and we applied about 100 pounds nitrogen per acre in a split application in the fall, a 50-50 split application in the fall and the spring. We applied about 25 pounds of sulfur per acre. And we also applied about 40 pounds of potassium per acre. And then we also used an herbicide called Treflin, and that helped to mitigate some of the winter weeds that we had. So once we harvested the material, like I said, in that early to mid part of June, we took the harvested seed, and of course we measured the total yield from our individual plots, and we took the seed and we used near-infrared spectroscopy to identify the oil content and the protein content using the calibration provided by the manufacturer for canola. And so we were able to kind of screen the 40 different varieties of seed to see some of the different differences between the varieties. So to start off with, this is the yield that we had for our winter canola. And so I mentioned that we looked at, you know, about 36 to 40 varieties, and so these are the highest yielding varieties that I've shown here. The one marked in the red star is called Quartz, and that was the highest yielding variety. And everything else that you see was also statistically similar to that highest yielding. So we identified this group as overall the greatest yielding cultivars. And so taking that group of high yielders, we looked at the oil content then for the different cultivars. And here the red star is the one that was the highest yielding once again. And then all of the other cultivars that have yellow stars were statistically similar. So one thing, we've got one cultivar that's the highest, and the only thing with this one is that it was also the lowest yielding variety. So in a case when you're selecting different varieties, the overall grain yield is really going to drive what you're going to look for. When a farmer enters into a contract with an cooking oil producing company, they can get certain incentives if their oil content is above a certain level. So if it's above, in our case, if it's above 42%, they're going to get additional bonuses based on how much higher above 42% they are. So all of our oil contents that we found were within the range that one of these companies would be interested in, and some of them were above that 42% mark, so they could earn bonuses. Now, overall, like I said, the yield is really going to be the driving factor. And so that's where the cutoff is as far as getting those bonuses or not. So one of the things that we were looking at, of course, we're talking about farmers using this for biodiesel production. So, of course, they're interested in, you know, the overall yields, but this is going to more relate to the amount of acreage that they're going to have to devote to growing specifically these oil seeds for biodiesel production. And so the lower percentage of their farm that they have to devote to this, the better, okay? Because then they can devote the rest of the farm to, you know, the cooking oil canola contract or something else where they can earn some revenue. So we did a calculation based on the information that we had, as well as some information in the literature. We took our grain yield and oil content and converted our values to pounds of oil per acre. Then we used the density of canola oil at room temperature from the literature, and we converted this into relative gallons of oil that you can expect per acre for each of the different varieties that we were working with. Then we took that gallons of oil per acre, we multiplied it by the oil extraction efficiency, and then also by the biodiesel conversion efficiency, and we took that number and took the average fuel consumption per acre and divided it by that number. And so that information came from, for the oil extraction efficiency, we took it from some data that we had collected using our seed press. So this is something that, you know, we expect farmers might use to do this process. And so our best oil extraction efficiency was 69%. So that was used in the calculation. The biodiesel conversion efficiency ranges from about 93 to 98%. So we use the conservative value of 93% for the calculation. And then lastly, there were a number of different sources for average fuel consumption. And I took the one that was the highest overall, again, to provide a more conservative estimate of the overall amount. So From that equation, we converted all our data into the percentage of farm acreage that would be required. And so these are the results from that. So this is essentially combining the grain yield with the oil content and then those other factors. And then we were able to kind of compare between some of the different types of varieties. And so the lowest one was quartz, which if you remember from before, it had the highest grain yield. We ended up with, you know, requiring about, you know, 3.5% of the farm acreage to produce enough biodiesel to power the equipment for that growing season. Now, none of these were statistically different from each other, but it is important to note that there was a bit of a range between, you know, all the way up to 6%. And just as a caveat, some of the low producing yields that I didn't show here calculated farm acreage percentages up to 16%. Okay, so there's a pretty big difference, and so of course we want to have lower farm acreage requirements as possible. So that was from the first planting date, that data that I showed, and this is again from that first planting date. With another thing that's important with specifically producing a crop for biodiesel production is going to be that meal product that you also get out. Because remember, you're going to use that either for the animals or to gain additional revenue for to make the biodiesel process economically feasible. And so we looked at a number of different, the high-yielding varieties again. We looked at the protein content that was in the meal, and we found two that were pretty high at around 37%. And so those two were also, remember, the highest yielding, and also they had pretty good high oil content as well. So some of these two might be, especially the Claremore might be some of the best ones to use for Tennessee. But then if we look at those that are commercially available in the U.S., that cuts down the pool to about five different varieties from that original. So we're looking at some different ones. These, again, no significant difference when it comes to the oil content or the protein content, but there were some numerical differences between the five different ones. So then looking at the second planting date, we only had two were basically statistically different from the rest. They range from about 4,000 to about 5,000 pounds per acre. These two were both the high part of that high yielding group that I showed from the first planting date. And their protein and oil contents were relatively similar. They led to, so that for that farm acreage calculation, they led to about 3 to 4% of farm acreage requirement. Now between these two, the HEKIP one, the orange bar there is the one that is commercially available in the U.S. And so since it performed well for both planting dates, and it's commercially available in the U.S., it's something that we're focusing on recommending to farmers to use as the variety of choice for right now anyway, based on our data. Like I said, we're recommending this HEKIP. We also have previous year's worth of data that we're going to include with this before we make our recommendations. But one of the new projects that we started this year relates to using a few of the high yielding varieties that were commercially available in the U.S. and looking at a fertilizer trial where we're looking at five different nitrogen rates between 0 and 200 pounds of nitrogen per acre, and then also five different planting dates, so we can really kind of narrow down some of that information so that with some of those varieties that we've identified, there's also some other information that farmers can use to enhance their overall production. So with that, I just want to stop and ask if there's any questions related to the project. The plots were pretty small. They were three rows of canola that were about 12 feet long.
And with this, because we have the crop I'm about to present next, we have a problem with transferring the yields to the farmer's field, and there's a 50% yield drag from what we're getting in small plots.
Sure, sure. And so the point of this was basically for comparison. So if we're comparing small plots, you know, they're probably going to be comparable on a large scale basis as well. The overall yields might be lower, but comparing within the different varieties should still provide some good information to be able to make some of those decisions. Yeah, we had applied nitrogen at about 100 pounds of nitrogen per acre.
Since the part of line, is it a variety that I'm doing? Those four part varieties,
mm-hmm.
that was the one which had the highest oil yield, but when you look at the indirect, mm-hmm. it was low. So, are there any proposed studies on carrying out actual green programs to improve the
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I'm sure there's definitely, you know, folks looking at those plant breeding questions. For me, I'm an agronomist, so I'm not focused on, you know, the plant breeding aspect of it. I'm just working with, you know, what we have right now to really be able to make some decisions for farmers on the ground.
Okay.